This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
His tenure, you know, he gets whatever. Like, he's become a walking meme. I get all that. He's also a career winner who, in terms of, like, the categories of guys that haven't won a national championship, he's still near the top of the list in terms of, like, career achievement awards either. So I'm not completely closing the book on the Brian Kelly tenure at LSU, but it's the mercury is rising, I will say.
No, I'm with you. And it definitely his nothing's my fault, it's all your fault, like, that doesn't help, but because I'm with you entirely. All right, let's wrap here. If I tell you one of these double-digit road dogs, either Ole Miss or Alabama, falls, who would you put your money on?
That's a good one. Maybe Ole Miss. I don't think they're going to fall, but I guess the two, like, I don't like Oklahoma at all.
If Oklahoma could block for a half of a second, I would buy into this.
That's the biggest, though, right?
But right, like, because I also think, like, with Alabama, Alabama's the machine, it's when they run Milroe a ton. I got to think that they're not going to try to sit there and run him a ton in this game if they can help it, because the amount of body blows. I don't know. If I could trust Oklahoma's offense even a little bit, I'd say that game could get weird.
That's right. I mean, I think you got to score, I don't know, four touchdowns, 25 points in that neighborhood to beat Alabama. And I mean, this is not a world beater Alabama defense, but is this an Alabama defense that could hold Oklahoma to about 14 points? Yeah, I think it probably is. And so I don't know if it's going to be pretty, but I think both these teams are getting it done, right? But, like, in terms of, like, who has the higher ceiling from the underdog perspective, I think Florida has a higher ceiling than Oklahoma does. So, like, if you're looking at it from the underdog perspective of, like, everything falls into place for them on a particular day, they play at their absolute ceiling, and they land an uppercut, I think Florida has that potential more than Alabama does, or than Oklahoma does. But yeah, I don't like the underdog in any of these games.
I kind of think both get flexed.
Yeah, I sort of do too. But if forced to pick one, I guess I'd pick Florida in the swamp.
All right, are you off to the shoe?
I wish I was. No, I'm at home this weekend.
All right, it's a good TV weekend.
It is a good TV weekend, and we're resting up for the final sprint here.
All right, buddy. Good luck.
Okay, sounds good. Talk to you guys next week.
That is Blake Topmeyer, of course, senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. Right now is one of the best times to get over to our friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers, because the Black Friday event is going on now, and that means that you can buy gifts that give gifts. That's right. Get the 1/5 carat diamond hoop earrings and 10 carat white gold for $549 and get a free pair of JBL noise-canceling headphones. You can also do what I did, which is get your engagement ring for your future spouse at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And if you spend $49.99 or more, you can also get a free 85-inch smart TV with that purchase. Also, Don't be scared with the entire engagement ring process, because I was, and I went into Robert Irwin Jewelers, and it could not have been less stressful, and it was just an absolute delight to work with them. We came in with something just as simple as two or three pictures that my wife liked in terms of concepts, worked with Howie. We put the ring together. My wife absolutely loves it. I will occasionally catch her looking down at her ring, and that makes me feel good, because it's like one of the few things I can actually buy her that she truly, truly loves. You can also do so with peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. That means that for any reason, if you're unhappy with your custom-made engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers, you have a full 365 days to return it. Go check out Free Ring Sizing for Life, the Diamond Trade-Up, and also their jewelry spa service. You can have your jewelry looking like the day that you bought it. It's all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. The Black Friday sale's going on now. See store for details while supplies last. Free financing, bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Five locations where you can shop online at rijewelers.com. We come back, we get into the list. Also, during hour number two, we get into the gambling card for the College Football Weekend. We'll do all that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Thursday Night Football. All right, Tim, I'm pretty sure that was our first snow game of the year last night. And I guess this is the way I would ask it. Did anything that happened in that game make you think differently about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No, because I didn't really think they would
challenge. The line stunk, to be very clear, the whole day.
Come on. You know who I was.
Yeah, you were definitely on the Browns.
Yeah. It doesn't really change my mind on Pittsburgh, because they're a playoff team that's not going to do anything in the playoffs. Maybe they win a game.
Yeah, like on Super Wild Card Weekend.
Right. Like, I never thought they were on, even though they just beat the Ravens, they kicked six field goals, right, in that win. Like, the Ravens are better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, if that makes sense. The Bills, the Chiefs, like, those teams, you can trust in Tomlin. And, you know, when I looked at that game last night, I just said, this is a divisional game. I didn't really know what the snow would do, but I'm like, this is a divisional game where Pittsburgh, the last 2 weeks, were in a great role for Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is
it's like an auto rule. If he's a dog, take him. If he's a favorite, fade him.
Yeah, I mean, he's an amazing underdog coach. They come back, they beat the Commanders, they beat their arch rival in the Ravens. I don't think it was a letdown spot. I just think it was a bit of a sell-high spot on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So to answer your question, no, nothing really changes. It was a divisional game on the road in the snow. And I thought their play calling left a lot to be desired. You know, back-to-back, you know, they went for two fourth downs, which I was like, wow, Tomlin's going for a fourth down. And then they just ran it up the middle. Like, the first one was what, that read option with Fields,
yeah,
that didn't do anything, and they tried it again. I don't think it was Fields the next time, but
well, then they tried just like running. I think they tried Najee one time. Like, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it, because nothing really changed. And Cleveland's a team with the defensive talent that they had and let's just look at Cleveland real quickly. Jameis starts. They're a 9. They were opened as a 9. I think they closed around 7-point dog against Baltimore.
Yep.
They won the game on the field. Then now people are like, oh, you know, maybe Cleveland's going to be feisty. And they go down to New Orleans and they get their teeth kicked in by the Saints. So they almost are like the same thing as the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, when they're a dog, we probably should bet on them. And when they're a favorite or a short dog or a popular dog, we bet against them.
Yeah, the other thing that I was thinking last night, the numbers are not going to show it, but I did not think Russell Wilson was good. That guy can take a sack at any given point. Like, it feels like he has to have one of the highest pressure to sack rates in the league. And the other thing, like last night, if you were watching early, and you, like, at one point it was like 150 yards to 20, and the Steelers were losing.
Yep.
And you're like, all right, that's kind of their problem in a nutshell. And I went and looked it up, because I was like, I'm curious to know. 30th in red zone offense in terms of efficiency, and they're 30th in the league in goal to go efficiency. And they're not great on third downs either. So it's like, that's kind of the money downs, man.
I was sitting there watching the game. You know, I was on air, so we didn't have the sound on. But I'm watching the game, and I watched Pittsburgh drive the first drive. They miss a 58-yard field goal. Then the Browns go three and out. Then the Steelers fail on fourth down. Then the Browns go three and out. And then you have another long drive. And to your point, we're sitting there with 10 minutes to go in the second quarter, and it's only 3-0. And the Browns had 14 yards of offense. I'm like, you know what? I actually feel pretty good about my bet because Pittsburgh has completely missed an opportunity to take advantage here. And then what happens? You get a good drive, then you get the fumble, and you go into the locker room with Cleveland leading 10-3. Now they came out and fumbled on their first possession. Yeah. But lastly, I'll say about this. I was very confused on Mike Tomlin and his decision at the end of the half. So it was 3rd and 7.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb runs for a yard, so they're going to kick a field goal, and the Steelers have one timeout left, and Tomlin didn't use it. And he lets 37 seconds go off the clock, and I'm like, wouldn't you rather have a minute 20 and no timeouts instead of 40 seconds and one timeout? It just didn't make sense to me why he would save his timeout there, and obviously they weren't able to do anything on their final drive of the half.
I almost wonder if he's thinking, hey, man, let's keep it where it is and get out of here. Because they weren't super aggressive on that drive either.
No. And they weren't getting the ball. If they were getting the ball to start the half, I would have understood it. But they weren't. Now, it worked out because you had that you had a Cedric Tillman fumble on that next drive. But, yeah, I'll say this. For those who dabble in gambling, which obviously you and I do, if you had the under last night,
oh god,
that's a tough one. Because that game was, I mean, there were points in that game last night where like the live total was like 24.
No, and I mean, that's kind of the other thing I was thinking. Like, are they playing the right guy? I think he probably improves their passing game. But man, I just kept thinking like, man, this is like a physical run at your team. And it's like, I just think like quarterback run has got to be something that's part of their offense. And like, I just kept thinking that the whole time. And like, obviously they're using Fields some, but it's almost like it's predictable when they're using him.
I'm not a big Russ guy anymore. I haven't been for a number of years. So I would prefer Justin Fields, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I, you know,
it is the classic
Pittsburgh Steeler game.
There's one coach that it's like, I trust him. Like Mike Tomlin has proven to me over the course of his career, like he knows how to manage a locker room.
Yeah.
Because he's had quite the characters in it. I think the other thing I was thinking about, obviously there's the rivalry between Myles Garrett and TJ Watt, but I actually thought the scariest play and the scariest moment of the night was something that didn't even get in the stat sheet. When the Steelers went for it on fourth down and Garrett was chasing after him, and like it was something about the way that the camera was zoomed in, that was truly, I think, like the most terrifying human being on the planet when he was chasing after him. I was scared for Russ.
I don't want to be chased down by Myles Garrett.
No.
That is a huge human.
Well, like I do kind of think like, because I know Steelers fans get salty that TJ doesn't get the reputation that Garrett does. I think it's solely just because, like, when you look at those two guys, there's one guy that just looks so much more intimidating. Not that TJ Watt's not intimidating, but it's like when you compare those two, I think part of Garrett is just he looks ferocious.
Yes. He looks like he's been chiseled out of stone.
All right. My boy Daniel Jones. All right, Tim, pour one out. It's officially over. Daniel Jones asked for his release, granted his release. I don't really recall this happening during the season, right?
I was surprised to see this news. And the statement from John Mara.
I guess Daniel, Baker kind of did. I think Baker did this.
Did he
with the
ask
Panthers.
For it whether he was in Carolina?
And did
remember.
They trade him, or did he get released?
No, he got released, and the Rams picked him up, and then he won a game on, was that a Thursday or
a
Monday?
It was a Thursday night, and he took a Southwest flight from Cleveland to L.A., and he learned the playbook on his way over, on his
legend.
Flight.
Legend. Also, legend that he was flying Southwest.
Yes.
Daniel came to see me this morning and asked if we would release him. We mutually agreed that would be the best for him and for the team. Daniel has been a great representative of our organization, first class in every way. His handling of the situation yesterday exemplifies just that. We are all disappointed in how things have worked out. We hold Daniel in high regard and have a great appreciation for him. We wish him nothing but the best in the future. You're a Giant fan.
Yep.
They clearly are tanking the rest of this season.
Absolutely, because they're playing DeVito.
And Drew Locke was none too pleased.
Yes.
The locker room was, per reports, none too pleased that they benched Daniel Jones, which is interesting.
No, he's very popular because he's tough. And like he'll run the ball. Like he does the things that players respect.
I know you are.
I think it also tells you that they know the other two guys suck.
So, I don't know if it matters, but, and I think the loss to the locker room is a little thrown around too much, but is Brian Daboll and Shane there? Joe Shane, are they teetering on that losing the locker room situation there in New York?
I think so. With that said, I think Dable's a good coach.
I agree. I think he is too.
I don't know if
Shane is a good.
That's the problem. But
GM.
But they did the thing where it's like they worked in Buffalo together. Like they I do think there's no perfect way to do it. But I think the franchises that work the best consistently are you've got the personnel guy and the coach that works, they work together. And the problem is, I think Shane has proven at this point he doesn't have good judgment. And like at a certain point, there's a level of how much of this is just you inherit a quarterback and you don't get it right. Well, it's like, well, you inherited the quarterback and you're the one that paid him. Like, there wasn't, like, I get it. Daniel had a playoff win and he was due for a contract. But it's like the thing that I hated all offseason was that they were trying to paint this all as Daniel. It's like, well, he's not the one that signed, like, he's not the one that put the contract in front of him. Like, you did that. I just think that, I've said this before, but the Giants weirdly get to mask as a competent franchise when they're really not. And there's way more examples of them being poorly run than well run. And you've had the public support of we're not firing him, but the statement was really like we're not firing him right now. If you made me bet, I mean, how many teams pick in the top two and everybody comes back?
I
told you, like, the sad thing is now it's like I used to always be like, even though I knew the Giants were not as well run as the reputation was, I was like, at least the Commanders are in the division. I got that. Now it's like the Commanders
at least the Cowboys are in the division.
Right, but like they're still better. Like, despite being a circus, they're still better run than us.
Hey, at least Eli's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, baby.
And Kraft is not.
That's true.
Still not getting it. Oh, also, did you know they were doing in-season Hard Knocks again?
I found out today. It's the whole AFC North?
Yeah, what a punt. Like,
dude, just... All right, hear me out, HBO. You know, we got connections at HBO. We know Doug Ellen. Just give me Jameis the entire time. I don't care about anyone else. I don't want anything in Baltimore. I don't want anything in Cincinnati. I just want Jameis. Me Jameis the entire time.
I'm with you. I think also, though, when you declare we're doing an entire division for Hard Knocks, you are declaring this is done. And I don't even think it's HBO's fault. In the end, I think what this is a bigger reflection of is once upon a time, HBO was given unfiltered access, and it made it brilliant television. But now we're just even acknowledging you're going to get so little access. There's no way you could do one team. We're going to have to do all the teams.
Well, and here's the thing, right? every offseason, we find out the list of teams that are going to essentially be forced into doing Hard Knocks. Like, teams don't want to do this. Every once in a while, you'll see a team raise their hand. And I know the in-season one. Like, I actually enjoyed, I don't know, you're a Giants fan, so maybe you didn't, but I thought the off-season one was interesting.
So I thought it was interesting. I protested it, though, because the Maras and the Tishes are, like, the most vehemently against Hard Knocks. And that was, by them doing the off-season one, that was their, like, silence. It's like, okay, we'll do this, but that's all we're going to do.
Yeah.
And then it just became a hit piece on your quarterback.
And it was over a longer period of time, so they could, you know, more time right. to edit it all. But, you know, I felt like this past offseason, or the training camp one, it's the first one I didn't watch an episode. I had heard it wasn't great, and I was like, I just don't have much interest in the Bears. Like, the Lions a couple years ago, yeah, I felt like that... That, like, revitalized it, because it was like, oh, man, Dan Campbell, this dude is a riot. And I don't know. You know, since then, the Dolphins had in-season, right? They had the in-season.
The
was
Cardinals
last year?
Have had it. The Colts have had
the
it.
The Cardinals was great because Cliff Kingsbury yes. got fired.
Yeah, that one.
And walked into that room and was like, hey, guys, got fired. See you later.
I actually didn't mind the Bears one. Last year was the Jets.
Oh, the Jets was gross.
But it was the just... world according to Rodgers. So while I didn't think it was a good Hard knock season, it was still interesting because the world according to Rodgers is interesting. I mean, that's kind of the other thing. The Giants kind of skate by because it's like, I think part of why people think, like, oh, they're a well-run franchise is because, well, at least they're not the Jets. Like, that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
We also got... We got our first ever Thursday night flex. We have flexed out. We flexed out the Browns and Bengals, and we're flexing in the Broncos and Chargers. I mean, I get why they're doing it. I do feel like all of a sudden having an extra Thursday night game like that
sucks.
Yeah,
that's tough.
I mean,
man.
I guess on the flip side, you could say, well, you do wind up getting kind of that mini bye, like. Like, I do think, like, Washington playing last week, I think that was beneficial for them because it was very obvious to me. It's like, they need a little extra time off.
I just want to know, I don't care about the Thursday nighter that week, week 16. Please flex out the Cowboys. I don't
and the Giants!
I don't need to see them in primetime again. Like, get them out of my face on that 22nd.
Well, we've done too much work on the Simpsons game.
No. So the Simpsons game's on the 9th.
Yep, that's the Monday night. That's the Monday night. So they can't flex them out. That apparently was up for flexing, and then I guess ESPN said we've done too much. We've done way too much with the Simpsons aspect. Obviously, you can't flex out a Thanksgiving game, but it's like, good.
Please.
Gross. Like, I don't even want to watch it. I really, really don't. And then Warren Sharp put out today, every Giants team just needs to blitz Tommy DeVito to oblivion because that guy against pressure. I don't. Was he Syracuse?
Remember when he beat the Packers and everyone was talking about how this guy's the face?
And the agent that. God. All right, let's get into our cards. We'll do that next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's never too early to start thinking about the big game. And all month long, Zen Sports, the new sports book in Tennessee, has launched a brand new sweepstakes for all Tennessee customers. It's the Big Game Sweepstakes, where you can win a grand prize of two tickets to go see Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans or $10,000 cash. And what's more, Zen Sports will also award 50 additional prizes, which include two tickets to any Tennessee sporting event or $100 cash. If you want in on the action, you can earn multiple entries every day by just betting on the Zen Sports app. For every bet you place, you will earn one entry, and for every dollar you bet, earn an additional entry. If you like parlays, you can earn double the entries on every parlay placed. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today for Zen Sports, and if you sign up with my referral code, JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you'll receive an additional 25% odds boost when you sign up with the promo code JeffTN. Start betting with Zen Sports and download their app today. Zen Sports, betting just got better. For a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. All right, Tim, you blinking football season's over with. We're at week 13. At least we've got more football this year. We've got more playoff games, so we're going to have much more to come. But what do we got on the card?
So, all right, so we've been filling this out as the week's gone on, and I like some things less, and I like some things more. Start with Kansas, +3 against Colorado.
Good number there.
Talked about it in the open. Be careful. It's getting loud in Boulder. It's been a busy week, and they have the right to be loud. They're really good. Be careful. There you got the Slayer, Kansas. Now, why I am not in love with this play. Last week, I loved Kansas. Like, that was my favorite play of the week, Kansas at BYU. And I'll be honest, I think we're a bit fortunate to get there on that one, especially if you got it late in the process there. Pooch punt going our way for that one against BYU, 17-13 win. So I like it, don't love it. Under in Indiana, Ohio State.
Yeah, I thought about firing. I thought about firing, but I left all totals off because
I historically have a more of a hatred relationship with totals because it always feels like it never works out. But then last week, the Ohio State Northwestern under had no business coming home, and it pulled me back in, getting in there. I was on the wrong side of a market move, which I think historically speaking, when the market moves against me, I'm like 1 in 744.
You've got to win?
Just one, yeah. But when the market moves with me, I'm like, I don't know, like 50-50. The over took money late in the week. So the under took money early on in the week. It was like 53.5 early in the week, went down to 51.5, 51. And then it bumped back up this week. And right now, looking at the market, it's currently 53.5 for Indiana and Ohio State. And what was interesting to note about this game is that Indiana money came into the market yesterday. And now it looks like the Ohio State money is coming back. It got down to 10 yesterday. It's back to 10.5, 11. So there's been a battle there. But, you know, to me, the way I looked at this game, and we can kind of go back and forth. I don't want to just unload on my card, but I feel like twofold. Indiana, when they played a really good defense 2 weeks ago, they only had 246 yards of offense against Michigan.
Yeah.
Now, you can make the argument that they didn't really need to put up that many yards.
No, I mean, the one thing is, like, they knew they could not block them, but they also knew Michigan couldn't score, so
right.
Don't force the issue and then give them points.
Which is smart coaching. They're going to have to score tomorrow against Ohio State. But I think Indiana is going to be able to have some success defensively with the news this week that Seth McLaughlin, the starting center, who's been tremendous to transfer from Alabama, is done for the year. They already have had offensive line issues with Simmons, the left tackle, being done for the year. So I think that's an interesting spot there. I played under. I played it at a bad number. It's 53, 53 and a half right now. I still would go under in Indiana, Ohio State.
I tend to agree. I'm just laying it.
Like laying it with Ohio State?
Yeah, it's under two touchdowns.
I've gone back and forth on this game. I can't. People I respect are on Indiana. People I respect are on Ohio State. I've kind of tied myself in knots on this one because I've said for a little while now that I think Ohio State's the best team in the country. But these offensive line issues concern me. I'm not a Will Howard guy, even though he's been fine this year. But they're better. They should win. They should cover. Is it a hot take to say Kirk Cignetti's a better coach than Ryan Day?
I mean, I think that's kind of the whole problem with Ohio State, because I agree with you that if we're just talking roster, I think their roster is the best. But it's like, I don't know. Like, if we get into the playoff, he might be the coach that I'll trust the least.
Their roster should be, I'll just say this, the Ohio State roster should be a much bigger favorite than 11 points at home against Indiana.
That's kind of how I'm looking at this.
And sometimes it plays out that way. And we've seen it in recent years in playoff games where you just look at it. Like, let's go to Georgia TCU, for example, national championship 2 years ago.
One of our favorite games of all time.
And I just kept coming back to him. Like, I get it. TCU's had this remarkable. That team's loaded with 5 stars, and that team's loaded with 3 stars. Like, what are we doing here? Now, Indiana's very veteran, right? But it's a roster, unlike some politicians who believe it's a bought roster. It's a roster built off of G5 transfers.
Yes, from JMU.
And Ohio.
Yes.
That's their quarterback. But they're good. Like, I don't want... What's going to happen, unfortunately, is if they lose by 17, and we started the show this way, the voices from the South, the voices on national television, because they don't really want to see Indiana in the playoff, which I kind of understand, are going to say that they stink. They don't stink. This is a good football team.
No, I'm with you entirely. I also think that, I don't know, I guess the way that I'm looking at it is, what would this line have been this summer?
Oh, God.
24?
I don't think there... Yeah, I wish there was. There was not a look-ahead line. I have some look-ahead lines on my computer. There wasn't a... Let me double-check it.
Think about it in these terms. So next week, I know FanDuel's released an early line. Next week, it's Ohio State minus 23.5.
Correct.
And we just saw Michigan go toe-to-toe with Indiana.
Over the summer, that number, Michigan-Ohio State, was like 11.
Like, I don't know. I just don't think... This, to me, is like... I sometimes enjoy watching Cinderella die, admittedly. But to me, it's like, I just don't think this line's high enough.
And I'm not really going to push back all that much. Like, that said, I've tried to go against Indiana like 4 times this year and have been burned every single time. So, I wish you luck. I'm sure it will be a high-scoring game since I bet the under. But yeah,
my only fear with under would be turnovers.
Well, and like the point that's been made, and I think it's a fair one, is that so I think back to 2022, the opener, Notre Dame goes to Ohio State.
Yeah,
Notre Dame's a 17-point underdog. They played that game. While Marcus Freeman will never admit it,
they played to keep it close.
They played that game to keep it close. And they lost by 11. They led at halftime. I don't think Kirk Cignetti has that in his DNA. And also, while Indiana, you could argue, probably should do that, because if they play not to win and not to get blown out, I think it helps them to get into the playoff. If they lose by 10, I think it's like, okay, you're okay. You can get in. I just don't think that's in them. So the worry I also have about betting under is that they're not going to stop coming.
Yeah, garbage time.
They're going to have to. Because there are people who just box score hunt, and they're like, oh, Indiana only lost by 10. Okay.
The Dak Prescott.
Right. So, yeah, I certainly don't love the under. But in that window, that 11 a.m. Central window, I do have a game that I really like.
Let's hear it.
It is a glorious sandwich spot. I don't know what your favorite sandwich is, but pile on the salami, the cheese.
I would say it's a toss-up between an Italian or a club.
Syracuse last week went out to the Bay Area as a double-digit underdog. They won the game on the field. Next week, Syracuse welcomes in Cam Ward and the Miami Hurricanes with an opportunity to upset a top 10 team in the country in the Dome. This week, they play UConn. UConn doesn't suck.
Okay, but remember, I told you, we set a reminder. We're worried about Mora and the officials.
I know, but I flipped it because I think Mora used that as a rallying cry this week.
All right.
So Jim Mora, for
you
those...
You better not.
Jim Mora, when they played Wake Forest, Wake and UConn, they felt like they got jobbed by the ACC officials. UConn 7-3, they're going to a bowl game. I don't have any inside information on this. I think this is their bowl game. They're coming off a bye. They're going up to the Dome. They're playing an ACC team. They think the ACC's got a vendetta against them for whatever reason. Give me double digits with UConn here in this spot.
I thought about it, but I got scared. I was like, I got scared.
I got another game in that window.
What else we got? I'm laying it with Ole Miss, by the way. I think Ole Miss flexes tomorrow.
Brad Powers, college football handicapper, was on my show Wednesday night. Favorite play was Ole Miss. Now, it was at 10. Now, it's up to 12, 13, but I think...
But my deal is, if you like it at 10, I think you should still like it at 11.
It's 13 at some shops now.
Because, I mean, if it's your favorite play of the week, you're not playing to push. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You like to push insurance.
Correct. But, like, to me, it's like, if you believe in it at 10, I can understand at 14, you're starting to go like, then what if they're up 21 and Napier also tries to cover? Like, I can understand all that. But, like, I think that they're going to flex. And I think Lagway... I'm not sure what they did against LSU is super repeatable.
And I think your point was fair, which was, and I said it over the summer, more jokingly, more tongue-in-cheek, but if Sunbelt Billy gets this team to a bowl game with that schedule, he deserves to be coach of the year. They're going to get to a bowl game.
Yes.
They're going to beat Florida State, and they're going to get to a bowl game. That's an accomplishment, and he's going to keep his job. I think Lane is going to put up some style points.
That's what I'm banking on.
So the other game, as I'm deeming this kind of a be careful Saturday, I like the 10 with Virginia.
I thought about it, but...
So last week, Virginia loses to Notre Dame. It's not super competitive, but they just vomited on themselves. They were turning the ball over left and right. Now, Calandria, the quarterback,
that's his billing.
That's what he does, yes. You know, and that's certainly what he does. And that's, you know, the risk you have to be willing to take here, taking this situation. But, you know, SMU has gone from the team that was kind of the hot topic in the summer. Then they lose to BYU. They've got to kind of scratch and claw their way back. And now here they are, and they're on the cusp of making the ACC championship game in year one in the ACC. I think this is where that pressure starts to set in. And you're on the road. It's probably going to be a sleepy atmosphere down there at UVA. UVA needs that next win to become bowl eligible. Tony Elliott, 13-3 ATS as an underdog in ACC play, and 8-0 when an underdog of touchdown or more. I'll take double digits with UVA at home here. Even though, I'll say this, teams who play Notre Dame the following week, they're 0-8 ATS. The old body blow theory.
We're both on Minnesota, right?
Yeah, right. Row the boat. Yeah. Sky Uma. Be careful.
I'm also...
Be careful, Penn State.
I hate this. These two teams have been good to us, both Arizona State and BYU. I'm fading that new ranking smell.
Ooh, okay. You could also fade the bubble burst.
Yeah, I'm going to take BYU in 3.5. And then, of course, my game of the year, I guess, are we betting each other?
Can I get three? It's your game of the year, baby.
It's two.
Give me the three.
It's two.
Yeah, it's going the other way. Come on, man. That line's stinky poo. As Van Pelt put on his show last night, it's a general principle game, man. That line is stinky poo.
I'm just saying,
I embrace the sink.
I think this is UCF BYU all over again.
Maybe it is. I gotta trust my process. Yeah, we're going head to head on this one. We'll have to figure out what we're betting on the side. I don't know. This might be more of wishful thinking because I don't want Colorado State to play in the Mountain West Championship.
Yeah, Fresno.
I'm on Fresno. This is my favorite bet of the week. I laid three with Fresno State. I think Colorado State is complete and utter fool's gold. You know, we were texting about this earlier in the week. You loved them against Wyoming. I ended up jumping in.
I loved Wyoming
against them. I jumped in on it because a couple people at VSIN also liked it as well. I love Fresno here. Home game. I'm not saying that Fresno's going to have no atmosphere, but last game at home, it's been a weird year. Your head coach resigns a couple weeks before the season due to health issues in Jeff Tedford. You've got an interim in Tim Skipper. This secondary for Colorado State can be had, and Mikey Keen is a capable quarterback. They need a win for bowl eligibility. I'm on Fresno State. There are threes out there. If you want to do money line, whatever you want to do, I think Fresno State takes care of business. I like Fresno State quite a bit here.
All right, we will tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 99 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. We got to go to George Pickens about last night's loss for the Steelers. Conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today. We didn't get beat.
Like,
the snow beat us.
Spoken like someone who played football in the SEC.
a lot of whining. All right, my man. Best of luck, except in the Auburn game.
War damn Eagle, baby.
All right, we'll be texting about that, I'm sure. My thanks to Blake Topmeyer for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jefferson. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.